Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Tuesday, 27 August 2019. Yeah? So we will get ready for puja now. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Suing Pusa. Namo Quan Suing Pusa. Namo Quan Suing Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Milo Pho. Namo Milo Pho. Namo Milo Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Dijang Wang Pusa. Namo Dijang Wang Pusa. Namo Dijang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipano Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sura Miraya Majjhapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna Sarappa Dittena Dipena Pamadang Sina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang. Ganda Sambarayutena Dipena Hang Sukanghina. Pujaye Pujaniyang Tang Puja Bhajana Muttamang Vanna Kanda Kuno Petang Etang Kasuma Santatin Pujayani Munindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Bhutang Kasumena Nena Punena Matena Cha Tumokang Rupang Malayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasa Bhavang Adivasetu Nobante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang Adivasetu Nobante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang Adivasetu Nobante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Japa. Padang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. And we will have our usual half an hour of silent awareness meditation. Just relax body and mind. And we will off the light and you can have your half an hour meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you just proceed. Silent your mind, relax, maintain awareness. Then the silent mind will come to be. You still need to train your mind or stabilize your sati. You can go ahead and do it. For those who already have developed the spiritual faculty, you can straight away develop the ability to experience the meditative state straight away. You just relax, silent everything. Make sure you have a stable posture and relax body and mind and maintain silent. For those who need to stabilize the sati, you can go to anapana sati. Or you can detect the awareness of your heartbeat or your mind base. You can go to your heart area, silent everything and maintain awareness there. These are initial skillful means needed to anchor the mind. Because your spiritual faculty is developed, your sati will come. Then you need initially to anchor the sati so that you maintain awareness there. Just aware, aware, aware. By now your mind should be very quiet, already very quiet, very still. Then you just maintain awareness until that awareness and the stillness become very, very subtle, until finally the mind really enters sati. When the mind enters sati, you will know everything like become very quiet, no more movement. It's just aware. Okay, I will let you develop the meditation on your own. The alarm will go off when the 30 minutes is up. Then I will ring the bell 3 times. After hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. These are the mind state you need to develop the stability of daily mindfulness. When your mind enters sati, you will realize paucity. Then when you come out, you can carry this mindfulness state into your daily life. After that, everything you do, because your mind already enters sati, all your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile and thought process will be in sati. Then develop the ability to be mindful in the midst of life. Stabilize it until you are ever mindful. The stability of it is very important. Then when it becomes stable, you will come to experience the 2 types of sati. Specific phenomenal awareness, they will appear by itself. You can develop them and see them. And this will become more and more clear, more and more stable. And when you are in a formal meditation, when you decide to silence everything, then the mind will have this spacious awareness without a center. Then you just stay aware. Means you are the nature, one with each other, the oneness nature. So that one, your mind has to be very quiet, very still, for you to experience that. Then that mind has got no center, no dwelling, nothing. It is one with everything. Okay. can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Yeah? Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven a release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Veja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva nusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Kaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pajatang Veditabho Enohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Patipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyaya Patipanno Sakkasangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidang Chattari Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Janchineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Bhajan. Bhadang Pujami Dhammang Pujami Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 560, yeah? Chapter 39, the state of an arahant. finish 560. Okay, before we start adding tomorrow, there's a group of Kaya Mita, I think about 7 or 8 of them, going to Wat Macham, to Ajahn Anand's place for 10 days. Is it 10 days? 10 days retreat, yeah. So we wish them a safe and fruitful retreat. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So very fast, 10 days, very fast. By the time you come back, September already. What time is your flight tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Yinchan. Oh, a lot of time. No need to worry. A lot of time. Mi Fong cannot go.
Yeah.
He's too tired. Yeah, is it too tired? Yeah. Ajahn Vimok there. Yeah. That's why she need to rest. Never mind, you all can go. So when you go, I think she has passed a Thailand SIM card to PJ and some offering, I think. Oh, I forgot. Never mind. Stephanie is here. Stephanie reimbursed them. Help Kayanamita Fund to do some offering. Sadhu. So we will send you 200 ringgit. So you do whatever you want.
Convert.
Thai baht. My wife got 1,005. So we'll give you 1,005. Thai baht. It's 30% more. So it will come to about 200. Almost 200, nearly 200. 1.3 something. 3.7 already, now. Wow, our ringgit so weak. Our ringgit worthless, PJ says. USD Koji, 420. But all the countries like their money to depreciate. We get more tourist money. Thailand now complaining about their baht too strong. Tourists are not really going there. You wait, my wife will bring the money down. So we all would like to wish you all a safe and fruitful trip. Then we would like to rejoice in whatever wholesomeness. Now down with 10, supposed to be 11. Is Ponchi and the daughter also joining you? Ponchi and the daughter? Oh no, so she is going to another place. Okay. Turn to page 560. This one is all on Dhammapada verse. Dhammapada verses 198 onwards. Happily do we live in good health among the ailing. Amidst ailing men, we dwell in good health. So this Dhammapada verse are the saying of the Buddha. So when you realize arahantship, or when you cultivate the Dhamma well, you will have all this that other people don't have. So here, the Buddha say, happily do we live in good health. You look at note 1, free from disease of passion among the ailing. Then amidst ailing men, we dwell in good health. Yin Chan, you can count. Should be correct. sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So every time you go Rayong, I forgot about Kailamita Fan, but today got condition. So I remember. So you use it in whatever manner you deem fit. In chant sadhu. Also send my regards to Wei Shen. You help me to inquire, how is he getting on now? What is the name? Jayananda. Now he is Jayananda. Huh? Jayanako. Oh, Nando. Jayanando. Jayanando. So don't call. I know, I read about it in the what, liver cancer. He's going for chemo. They got a Facebook message, but that one is written by Agachita. So you all can do what you want. If you have acquaintance with him or whatever, you can do your part. There was a Facebook message I saw. Then Wong Tam Kyung also sent out. I read about it. Hey, he's much better now. He's much better. He is still actively writing WhatsApp and email. He is okay, because after we visited him, I think he looks a lot better. He was so happy that we went. He had a lot of joy. Then I taught him some of the important Dhamma understanding to recover. If he do it, I think it will help him a lot. I also pass him a lot of books. Then he texts me back, he says, "Bratio, your seminar book is very, very good." The international Buddhist seminar book that I wrote. He read that one first. I told him to read that one. Oh, he said that one very good. He didn't know that I delivered that speech at the World Buddhist Conference in Bangkok, August 2013. So when he read it, he was full of joy. He texts back and reply to me. Okay, we could read on. Verse 193. Happily do we live without yearning for sensual pleasure among those who yearn for them. Amidst those who yearn for sensual pleasure, we dwell without yearning. And Dhammapada verse 200. Happily do we live, we who have no impediment, feeders of joy. Shall we be even as the God of the radiant rhyme? So this one you read not to. Not to is here when he talks about impediment, it means kinchana, such as the greed, hatred and delusion, which are hindrance to spiritual progress. So you will have this quality. Then for those, there exists neither the hither nor the further shore, nor both the hither and the further shore. He who is undistressed and unbound, him I call a Brahmana. So Brahmana is an enlightened being. He who is meditative, stainless and secluded, he who has done his duty and is free from corruption, he who has attained the highest goal, him I call a Brahmana. So this Dhammapada verse 385, 386 onward, all they are referring to the enlightened state, a Brahmana. Then Dhammapada verse 391. He that does no evil through body, speech and mind, who is restrained in the three in these three respects, he might call a Brahmana. Then verse 392, he who has cut off all fetters means the 10 fetters that bind living beings to this world, who trembles not, who has gone beyond ties, who is unbound, him I call a Brahmana. So these are all the state of an Arahant. Huh? That's why the title of the book is called The State of an Arahant. Then Dhammapada verse 398, he who has cut the strap, the thong, and the rope, together with the appendages, means all the latent tendency, who has thrown up the crosshair ignorant, who is enlightened, him I call a Brahmana. So under the note 1, it means who has understood the Four Noble Truths. Okay. Then verse 399, Dhammapada verse 399. He who without anger endure reproach, flogging and punishment, whose power the potent army is patient, him I call a Brahmana. He who is not revengeful, but is dutiful, virtuous, free from craving, self-control, and bear his final body, him I call a Brahmana. So under the note, you can read them. Here, dutiful, again he say, understood the Four Noble Truths. Yeah? Means you know how to do your duty very well. Then the final body, because he had, having destroyed the passion, would be reborn no more. So his final body means he will not come again, taking future rebirth. Verse 401, like water on a lotus leaf, like a mustard seed on the point of a needle, he who clings not to sensual pleasure, him I call a Brahmana. Then verse 402, he who realizes here in this world the destruction of his sorrow, who has laid the burden, aside and is emancipated, him I call a Brahmana. Then Dhammapada verse 403, he whose knowledge is deep, who is wise, who is skillful in the right and wrong way, who has reached the highest goal, him I call a Brahmana. So all these are the description of the quality of a Arahant. Then Dhammapada verse 402, he who is not intimate either with householder or with the homeless one, who wanders without an abbot, who is without desire, him I call a Brahmana. Then Dhammapada verse 405, he who has laid aside the cargo in his dealing with human beings or beings, whether feeble or strong, who neither harm nor kill, him I call a Brahmana. Then verse 406, he who is friendly among the hostile, who is peaceful among the violent, who is unattached among the attached, him I call a Brahmana. Verse 406. Then Dhammapada verse 407, in whom lust, hatred, pride, and distraction are fallen off like a mustard seed from the point of a needle, him I call a Brahmana. He who utter gentle, instructive, true words, who by his speech gives offense to none, him I call a Brahmana. So this one is a very good quality. You can keep your demeanor to such quality. Means he who utters gentle, instructive, true words, who by his speech gives offense to none, him I call a Brahmana. So these are the quality of a cultivator. Then verse 410, He who has no desire, whether pertaining to this world or to the next, who is desireless and emancipated, him I call a Brahmana. Then Dhammapada verse 412. Herein he who has transcended both good and bad, and the ties as well, who is sorrowless, stainless and pure, him I call a Brahmana. Then Dhammapada verse 413. He who is spotless as the moon, who is pure, serene and unperturbed, who has destroyed craving for becoming, him I call a Brahmana. Then verse 417. He who discards human ties and transcending celestial tie is completely delivered from all tie, him I call a Brahmana. Then verse 418. He who has given up like and dislike, who is cool and is without defilement, who has conquered the world and is trainless, him I call a Brahmana. Then Dhammapada verse 421. He who has no clinging to the aggregates, means the five aggregates of form and mind, that are past, future and present, who is without clinging and grasping, him I call a Brahmana. Then verse 422. The fearless, the noble, the hero, the great sage, the conqueror, the desireless, the cleanser of defilement, the enlightened, him I call a Brahmana. Then verse 423 is the last of the Dhammapada verse. Total number of verses in the Dhammapada is 423. Verse 423. That sage who knows his former abode, who sees the blissful and the woeful state, who has reached the end of birth, who with superior wisdom has perfected himself, who has completed the holy life and reached the end of all passion, him I call a Brahmana. So this ends the chapter 39, the state of an Arahant. So these are Dhammapada verses, all describing the various state of the Arahant. Okay, we finish. Then we go to chapter 40. Chapter 40 is the Bodhisattva ideal. So this one, although Theravada seldom discussed this topic, but the Buddha actually did mention how he perfected the 10 perfection to become a Samapsambuddha, but he didn't give too much detail because the emphasis then was the sainthood way. He only spoke to the close disciple, those who can understand him and were cultivating this together with him. They talk about it, but it's not recorded because that time Ananda was only a Sotapan. So a lot of this cultivation of the Bodhisattva way is beyond what Ananda can understand. So that's why the focus at that time is different. Okay, there is this opening verse. Sri Sangabohi. This flesh of body and blood I bear just for the world's good and welfare. So this is like telling you, the Buddha understand that this body is meant for him as a vehicle and a tool to come to this world for the welfare and well-being of all beings. That's why people who has the wisdom, understanding, they will know the form and mind is dependent originating, not a permanent unchanging entity. You cannot cling and hold on to them. It is not real, not what you think. Okay, we will read on. Page 565. In the teaching of the Buddha for the realization of the ultimate goal, there are three modes of enlightenment, or he called Bohi, one of which An aspirant may choose in accordance with his particular temperament. They are the Savaka Bohi, Pacheka Bohi, and the Sambohi. Sama Sambohi. So these three are termed Savaka, are called sound hearer, the sainthood way. Then the Pacheka Bohi is the Pacheka Buddha. This Pacheka Buddha, they are beyond the sainthood. But they didn't go for the full training, the Sammasambodhi training. Savaka Bohi is the enlightenment of a disciple. This is known as the Arahant ideal. So here, you look at note 1. The hearer, Savaka means hearer. Then literally, note 2, a worthy one, or a passionless one, means fourth stage of sainthood. That's why Savaka, sometimes they call it the sound hearer. Those who hear the sutta, they awaken to the way. These are called sound hearer. Savaka. He who aspire to become an arahant usually seeks the guidance of a supreme or superior enlightened instructor. A slight indication from an understanding teacher would alone be sufficient for a morally advanced aspirant to progress on the upward path of enlightenment. Venerable Sariputta, for instance, attained the first stage of sainthood after hearing only half a stanza from Arahant Asaji. The sorrow afflicted Patachara, who lost all those dear to her under tragic circumstances, attained Arahantship by watching the water that washed her feet. She, while pouring water to wash her feet, she become Arahant. So you every day go and pour water, wash your leg. when you go Wat Macham. The child, like Kisa Gotami, who implored the Buddha for a cure for her dead infant, attained sainthood by watching a lamp that was being extinguished. See? Go and blow the candlelight. Straight away sainthood already. Then Chula Pantaka. This one very good. This is the one last time I told you all the what they call the story before. This Chula Pantaka, he cannot even memorize a verse of the Buddha's teaching for 4 months. Attain arahantship by meditating on impermanence while handling a piece of white cloth in his hand, gazing at the sun. Actually, the true story is not like that. Because the Buddha knew, he, due to karmic past, he don't have that type of memory. He cannot even remember a verse of what the Buddha trying to teach. For 4 months, he tried to memorize, he cannot. So what the Buddha did is, the Buddha gave him a white cloth. He said, meditate on this. So he was holding on to the white cloth, but he cannot remember anything. So what he did was, he wanted to keep the white cloth. But the more he tried to clean it, he realized the more dirty the white cloth became. Then all of a sudden, he recalled what the Buddha said. The Buddha said, actually, your mind is already, basically, that is your true mind. Without defilement, without tin. But living beings' problem is because they go and stir that mind. They go and do a lot of things to that mind. Then this mind becomes defiled. So likewise, that white cloth was actually originally your true mind. But because of ignorant delusion, you go and destroy it or make it dirty, make it defiled through ignorance, through stirring it, causing all the defilement to arise through ignorance, avijja, and self-delusion. So by just holding on to the white cloth, but here I don't know why they say grazing at the sun, actually he, no need. While handling a clean piece of white cloth in his hand, he actually became an arahant. Yeah. So go and buy a white cloth every day, try to clean it out, see what happens. This one depends on the individual's temperament, because his condition at that time, Chula Pantaka, he need this skillful means which the Buddha knew can help him to awaken, because you can't teach him anything. He can't even remember a stanza. You only let him understand that originally your mind no need anything. But the more you do, the more you try to meditate, the more you try to memorize a verse, it gets more and more defiled. So that's why by not doing anything, he realized his mind become like the white cloth, beautiful, stainless. That's how he became an arahant, awakened. But this also due to his past life cultivation and parami, not just this life. Next paragraph. After achieving his goal, an arahant devotes the remaining of his life to serving others, other seeker of peace, by example or by precept. First, he purifies himself, and then he tries to purify others by expounding to them the teaching which he himself had followed. An arahant is more qualified to teach the Dhamma than ordinary worldly teacher who had no realization of the truth, since he speaks from personal experience. So what do you think? What is your understanding after learning all the Dhamma? If a person have not realized, can he really teach? He can't, I tell you. Because you cannot teach something that you have not realized and understood. You will have a lot of idea of what that thing is. Then you follow book. You go after Dhamma knowledge. Then you repeat what the book say and what other people say, thinking that that is the truth. Yeah, you got no way of verifying it. This Dhamma is very unique. It can be investigated in, or it can be investigated on. And it stands out to investigation. That's why this Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized only by the wise each for themselves. So here, what the author says is very true. But he is trying to compare that an arahant is definitely a better person to teach than the one who may be called a teacher, a willing teacher who is not enlightened. Definitely that is the case. Because if you have not gone through the awakening, technically you cannot teach. You cannot teach what you don't understand or you have not realized. Okay, we go on. There is nothing selfish in the noble ideal of an arahantship, for arahantship is gained only by the eradication of all form of selfishness. Self-illusion and egoism are some of the fetters that has to be discarded in order to attain arahantship. The wise men and women who live in the time of the Buddha and the others later benefited by the golden opportunity offered by him to gain the enlightenment in this present life itself. So that one is the Savaka, the sound hearer. Savaka Bohi. The next one is Pacheka Bohi. Pacheka Bohi is the independent enlightenment of a highly evolved person who achieved his goal by his own effort without seeking any external aid. Such a holy person is termed a Pacheka Buddha because he lacks the power to purify and serve others by expounding the Dhamma which he himself has discovered. Nevertheless, he teaches morality. Now here, the author thinks Pacheka Buddha cannot teach. No, they can teach. Some of them, I don't know why, they call them the word silent Buddha. You heard of it, right? Huh? They say Pacheka Buddha is a silent Buddha. They keep to themselves. No. Under the Mahayana teaching, the Pacheka Buddha got two types. He said, in Mandarin, the sound hearer or Savaka Bohi, he called it Sen Wen. Then this particular Buddha, they got two titles, Yan Jiao and Du Jiao. Means this particular Buddha, they don't need a sasana. They don't need a sasana, like a Buddha sasana, to become enlightened. They don't need the Four Noble Truths. The awakening happen to the what they call condition dependent origination, condition arising Dhamma. They awaken to the dwelling through their own personal cultivation without the help of a Sama Sambuddha and a Sasana. And these are called Pacheka Buddha. And they cultivate beyond the sainthood way. They cultivate for a very long period, very long period. Then after that, when they awaken, because without the sasana, you don't have a proper structure, understand? Do you understand? There is no proper structure to teach you. Like the Buddha has a proper structure, for number two. That's why for my nature, when I teach, I try to make use of whatever he has shared with the world. Then I teach according to my understanding. That's why at least you all can have faith, understand? At least these are the words of the Buddha, but I interpret it differently with my own understanding. Then I can link them all. Then you realize it match. That's why all the teaching has become different now. But before I share all this, very few people understand the teaching. The teaching are actually there. But over the years, it has become distorted. Then it's no longer authentic of having the potency to awaken living beings. Otherwise, there will be more and more enlightened beings. But how come nowadays there are less and less? So unless the teaching are still authentic, then it can still pave the way for awakening. So this Pacheka Buddha, when they awaken, they know the teaching, they understand, but they don't have a structure to teach you. That's why it's very difficult for them to teach you. Even for my case, I already told you all, after 1989, after my nature had the understanding, I told myself, how can I share and teach it to the world? Nobody will understand, hardly anybody will understand, unless their nature is also very strong. Because most of the thing my nature realized is the opposite of what living beings do. In fact, opposite of most Buddhists do. And what the world believes to be the teaching or the truth. So because of that, it's very difficult. But luckily, there were conditions. So when condition arise, when Yun Chan came, then when condition arise, the thing naturally unfold. So when it unfold, that's why he asked me, Brother Teo, why not we go into Dhamma? So he asked me to shift from general discussion to Dhamma. I said, okay, no problem. Then he said, what is the first topic you want to teach. Then that time we were at Vipassana Center. I saw the poster on the wall there, the five ascetic with the Buddha. Then I said, maybe we start with this sutta, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. That time I don't even have the sutta. No. I don't even have anything. No. But I knew that there is such a sutta. Then I asked Yun Chan, can you go and look for me a book in English about this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, then pass it to me. And then from there I will teach. Then the moment I saw that sutta, the three turning, I straight away knew what that three turning of the Four Noble Truths was all about. That's why when I started teaching, everything just fall into place. But this three turning was seldom taught. And the last, was it last week? 2 weeks ago, SJBA, 18, was it 18 August? 18 August, I delivered that talk, the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. They wanted that topic as taught by Lord Buddha. And that teaching is very, very good. And that video recording is very good. You should thank Chin Hao. And the two questions they asked also very good. You should listen to it again and again. Because there's a lot of things inside there. Then all the recent video that Chin Hao did through our Thursday class, Tuesday class, they are very good. Especially Thursday class. There is one topic on the difference. Somebody asked, what's the difference between awareness and consciousness? That one was a very good one. Then towards the end, Sui An asked, what is the difference between Yoniso Manasikara and Sati Sambhajana versus Sati Sambhajana? Is there any difference? That one was very good. I answered it very well and with a lot of detail inside there. Means the explanation was very thorough. You should listen. It will help you a lot. Then a lot of these recent topics, they are all very good. Very, very good. You may think you have attended that class, you have understood. If you don't believe me, you go and log on and listen again. The second time you listen is totally different. A lot of things inside there. Especially if you listen to the end. There is so much Dhamma inside there. And all these are the final point of practice, cultivation. And these are the gem. You cannot get it other place. Where these are the direct teaching, because condition arise, and I spoke on them. So remember to go through the video again. And this YouTube video done by Chin Hao, we should really thank him. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then sometimes I think Christy, they also help. But mainly Chin Hao. That's why a lot of these conditions, they just arise. And for those who manage to contribute to the buying of this video camera, I say to you, although only 50 ringgit each, but very fast. But luckily, Chin Hao helped Kayaramita take one slot for Kayaramita. So at least as Kayaramita, you get to partake them. Then recently, we make quite a bit of donation too. We make a 2,000 donation to WAVE. And WAVE is very good because every year, they will do a lot of Katina offering. They will send them and make the offering on the behalf of all the donors. Then they also do a lot of printing of Dhamma book and other type of wholesomeness. And I know them personally, Pearly and Eric. These are sincere, beautiful people. I know them since the early day when I actually went to Brickfield to start my cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma. I met them there because Pearly stay at the that house. Brickfield is a government. I think the husband is a government servant. He was allocated one unit there, one house. So they use that house as a Dhamma center to do their wave activity, and the books are all there. Then every Sunday when I go to Brickfield, I will go with my wife, sometimes with my kids. We will visit there, and I'll look at the books. Some of the books in the library there is very good, not bad. I managed to borrow a few of the books. Then when I was there, I also get them to print some of the books that I want them to print for free distribution during the early years. That's how I get to know them. Then later on, I realized they print a lot of Thai traditions books. Then after getting to know them, we have opportunity to travel together to Thailand on a few occasions. So that's how the affinity came about. Then over the last, don't know how many years, we have been donating to WAVE. But last year I forgot. I couldn't find that piece of paper they sent to me, the donation paper. Then the date passed. I think Stephanie also knew. Then she reminded me, the first year we forgot to donate to WAVE. Yeah, I say, I know. So this year we do it. So you all can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And now we have more cash reserve for doing donation and wholesome thing. We have quite a healthy reserve. So if there's anything wholesome, you can let me know. Then we will see how it goes. Then if it's proper, appropriate, we will donate. We are Sokhun also recently wrote to me and suggest that maybe our Karimita Fund can donate to one of the temple. I think they are building the stupa one, I forgot already, somewhere in Kedah. So that one we donate. There are many other Anandagiri and other things, then all the spiritual trip, our annual retreat and all those things. We also partake. Okay, we continue. Page 5, 6, 7. So just now I explained to you, the Pacheka Buddha, they awakened through the dwelling on their own. But according to Mahayana, if I'm not wrong, they say during Sasana time, there is also Pacheka Buddha. That's why he say got two types. One is without the Sasana, they awaken. The other one is with the Sasana, they also awaken. Du jiao, yan jiao. Yan jiao means 十二因缘. Means they awaken through the dwelling. Du jiao, I forgot already. What is du jiao? So I cannot remember. Long time ago, I heard from Master Xuan Hua. He talked about the 10 Dhamma rhyme. And you know what is the 10 Dhamma rhyme? Huh? You don't know. The Mahayana got 10 Dhamma rhyme. Six, the first six is the Liu Tao Lun Hui. They are equivalent to our 31 plane of existence. But from the rhyme 7, 8, 9, 10, 7 up to 10, these are all the rhyme of the enlightened being. So sound hearer or Savaka, they are under the rhyme 7. The rhyme of the sound hearer. Then the rhyme of the Pacheka Buddha, that one is the 8th rhyme. Then the 9th rhyme is the rhyme of the Bodhisatta, all the Bodhisattva. Then the 10 Dhamma rhyme is the Dhamma rhyme of the Sammasambuddha. That's how they subdivide into 10 Dhamma rhyme. So he described them all, rhyme by rhyme. Then I remember when he came to Pachika Buddha, he talked about Du Jiao and Yan Jiao, but I cannot remember what is Du Jiao. Yan Jiao I know, is Si Ying Yan Fa. They awaken through the dwelling. Okay, we read on. Pachika Buddha arise only during the period when the teaching does not exist. See, they also say when the sasana is not around. Their number is not limited only to one at a particular time, as in the case of Sammasambuddha. Although the Buddha Gautama of the present era has passed away, we are still living in the Buddha sasana, for the teaching still exists in its pristine purity. Accordingly, no particular Buddha arise during this period. In the Kagavisana Sutta of the Sutta Nipata are treasured some beautiful sayings of Pachika Buddhas. A few of their wise utterances are quoted below. Leaving aside the cowgirl towards all beings, harming none of them, let him not yearn for sons or friends, but wander alone like a rhinoceros. Affection arises from intimacy, and sorrow result thereby. Realizing the evil birth of affection, wander alone like a rhinoceros. We certainly praise the value of comradeship. One should associate with superior or equals. Failing them, lead a blameless life and wander alone like a rhinoceros. Variegated, sweet and enchanting are sensual pleasure. In diverse form, they seduce the heart. Recognizing their menace or danger, menace, the meaning is danger, wander alone like a rhinoceros. This one portray the Pachika Buddha like Lone Ranger. Everything also walk alone. Lone Ranger. Cold and heat, hunger, thirst, wind, sun, mosquito and snake, overcome them all and wander alone like a rhinoceros. See, always wander alone. Like a lion that does not tremble at every sound, like the wind that does not cling to the meshes of a net, like the lotus that is unsoiled by the mud, wander alone like a rhinoceros. In due season, cultivate loving kindness, equanimity, compassion, release, appreciative joy, and untold by the world, wander alone like a rhinoceros. So this one is all about wandering alone. But they forgot to tell you the Pachika Buddha awakened through realizing the dependent origination, the dwelling. There is no Four Noble Truth. They don't awaken to the Four Noble Truth. But after they awaken to the dwelling, they will have the wisdom. They will know this form and mind not real. That's why they can also develop sainthood, enlightenment, and also go beyond the Arahant stage. By virtue of the name, they are Buddhas, you know. Do you realize? Pachika Buddha. I don't know why they call him Silent Buddha. Actually, they can teach. But they teach in their own way without a structure. Okay, the last one. Sammasambuddha. Sammasambuddha. Sambuhi is the supreme enlightenment of a most developed, most compassionate, most loving, all-knowing, perfect being. He who attained this bohi is called a Sammasambuddha, literally a fully self-enlightened one. He is so called because he not only comprehends the Dhamma, by his own effort and wisdom, but also expound the doctrine to seekers of truth to purify and save them from the ever-recurring cycle of birth and death. Unlike the private Buddha, only one Supreme Buddha arises at a particular time, just as one certain tree, one flower alone, bloom. He who aspire to attain Sammasambuddhahood is called a Bodhisattva. This Bodhisattva ideal is the most refined and most beautiful that could ever, in this egocentric world, be conceived. For what is nobler than a life of service and purity? Those who in the course of their wandering in samsara wish to serve others and reach ultimate perfection are free to pursue the Bodhisattva ideal. But there is no compulsion that all must strive to attain Buddhahood, which to say the least is practically impossible. That's why a lot of this Theravada practitioner, they thought it's impossible, take too long, because they don't really understand the cultivation. And from the point they brought up, do you realize they always brought it up from the point of a ego, means a person who choose not to go the Bodhisattva way, choose to be satisfied with the sainthood way. So there is always this atta behind. Critics who contend that the Bodhisattva ideal are evil to counteract the tendency to a cloistered, placid and inert monastic life only reveals ignorance of the pure Buddha Dharma. So this one I think is quite common. Those people who are contented with the sainthood way, they always hold on to this because they believe the sainthood way is noble enough. To a certain extent, it's very true. Very true. We have no more rebirth. Birth and death, they already rooted it out. They have transcended birth and death. Then the Abhisamma Yalankara Aloka, a later Sanskrit word, a sub-commentary of the Prajna Paramita. They also got Prajna Paramita, perfection of wisdom. Okay, we read and see what they say. The great disciple Savakas, having attained the two kinds of enlightenment, that is, of the Savaka proper and the Pacheka Buddha, with and without residue, remain with their mind full of fear. With and without residue, remain with their mind full of fear, since they are deprived of great compassion and highest wisdom. Uru Karuna Prajna Vaka Yena. Owing to the cessation of the force of life produced by previous biotic force, the attainment of Nirvana becomes possible. But in reality, the Hinayana saints are possessed only of that seeing Nirvana, which is called the Nirvana resembling an extinguished light. The birth in the three spheres of existence have ceased. But after their worldly existence have taken an end, Arahants are born in the most pure sphere of Buddhist activity in the unaffected plane. Anaravadhatu. In state of perpetual trance and abiding within the petals of lotus flower. Oh, the Pali word also, I don't know how to pronounce. Padma Putesu. Jayante. Thereafter, the Buddha Amitabha, they talk about Amitabha, and the other Buddhas resembling the sun arouse them in order to remove the undefiled ignorant, Akilesha Tanyana.
Thereupon, the Arahant makes their creative effort for supreme enlightenment. And though they abide in the state of deliverance, they act in the phenomenal world as if they were making a descent to hell. And gradually, having accumulated all the factors for the attainment of enlightenment, they became teachers of living beings, that is, Buddhas. Oh, that one I also cannot understand what they are trying to tell us. Eh? How did they relate to Prajnaparamita? I didn't find any Prajnaparamita there. Anybody can develop any understanding of it? I can't understand. Anybody? If nobody can understand, never mind, let it be. We read on. Eh? This is an absolutely fantastic view, completely foreign to the spirit of the original teacher. Oh, they must have taken from the nowhere. Then they counter it with this sentence. They say, this is an absolutely fantastic view, completely foreign to the spirit of the original teaching of the Buddha. Oh, no wonder I also cannot understand. It is argued that arahatship is selfish. Actually, they didn't say selfish. I will explain it. But I realize a lot of Theravada tradition, they defend it like they are very angry when the Mahayana say, you go the sinful way, you go for self-enlightenment, understand? So the self is involved in a way, they say, there is still selfishness. But then they counter you, Arahant, no more ignorant, no, where got selfish? They are selfless. But what the Mahayana is trying to tell you is, you only save yourself. That's why it's called selfish. The ideal is not so universal. But don't argue over that, please. Otherwise you end up divided. Then you will have big problem. Then people come after you. It's like they used to say, it's an individual's choice. Because before you become enlightened, you think you exist, understand? Then you make a choice. You choose to go the sainthood way, faster. You say, enough of suffering. I don't want to suffer anymore. Then they choose. So when they choose, they are not enlightened yet, understand? That's why the self is involved. But after they go the bodhisattva way, then they realize there is no self. Then they realize it's so wonderful and so rewarding. The understanding is totally different again. That's why it depends on how you tread the path, how you cultivate. There is no right or wrong. So forget about those arguments. Anyway, I just read to you what they try to argue. But this author is Theravada, 100%. Otherwise he wouldn't write like that. It is argued that arahantship is selfish and that all must try to attain Buddhahood to save others. Well, one might ask, what is the object of obtaining Buddhahood? Is it to make others attain arahantship and save them? If so, then the logical conclusion is Buddhahood itself fosters selfishness, which is absurd. Buddhahood is indisputably the best and the noblest of all the three ideals, but all are not capable of achieving the highest ideal. Surely all scientists cannot be Einstein and Newton. There must be the lesser scientists who help the world according to their capability. The Pali term Bodhisatta is compound of Bohi, which means enlightenment or wisdom, and Satta, which means devoted to or intent on. Actually, Satta is a being. A Bodhisatta therefore means one who is devoted on or intent on wisdom or enlightenment. The Sanskritized form should be Bodhisatta, but the popular term is Bodhisattva, which is the Mahayana spelling, which means wisdom being. Actually, it's enlightened being. Bohi is enlightenment. Bohi tree of enlightenment. Or being aspiring to become Sammasambuddha. This term is generally applied to anyone who strives for enlightenment. But in the strictest sense of the term, should be applied only to those who are destined to become supremely enlightened ones. In one sense, all are potential Buddha, for Buddhahood is not the specific, special prerogative of specially graced person. It should be noted that Buddhists do not believe that there lies dormant in us or a divine spark that needs development, for they deny the existence of a creator, but they are conscious of the inert possibility of the creative power of man. Buddhism denies too the existence of a permanent soul that transmigrates from life to life, acquiring all experiences instead of an unchanging soul. The so-called essence of man is it possesses a dynamic life flux where there is an identity, where there is an identity in process. As a man, Prince Siddhartha, by his own will, wisdom and love, attained Buddhahood, the highest state of perfection any being could aspire to. And he revealed to mankind the only path that leads thereto. A singular characteristic of Buddhism is that anyone may aspire to the state of the teacher himself if only he makes the necessary exertion. The Buddha did not claim any monopoly of Buddhahood. It is not a sort of evolutionary process. It may be achieved by one's own effort without the help of others, of another. The Buddha does not condemn men by calling them wretched sinner, but on the contrary encourages them, saying that they are pure in heart at conception, instead of disheartened follower, creating an inferiority complex and reserving the exalted state of Buddha to himself. He encourages them and inspires them to emulate him. A bodhisattva need not necessarily be a Buddhist. We may find ever-loving bodhisattva among Buddhists today, though they may be unaware of their lofty aspiration. And bodhisattva may also be found among the religionists as well. So here they say there are three types of bodhisattva. According to Buddhism, there are three types of bodhisattva, namely the intellectual bodhisattva, panyatika, devotional bodhisattva, saddhatika, and the energetic bodhisattva, viryayatika. The three kinds of bodhisattva correspond to the jnana yogi, bhakti yogi, and Kama Yogi of the Hindu. That one is different. The Buddhist one is according to the scripture. There are three types of Buddhahood actually. Those who walk the path of Bodhisattvahood through perfecting wisdom, through emphasis on wisdom, that one is the shortest. It seems within maximum 4 world cycles you will realize supreme enlightenment, the 10 perfection. But if you go the virya way, they call it energetic. Actually it's virya, spiritual zeal. If you perfect it via spiritual zeal, then it will take about 8 world cycles. But the one that go through faith, one like Amitabha Buddha, take about 12 world cycle. So these are the three categories of division. Intellectual bodhisattva are less devotional and more energetic. Devotional one are less energetic and more intellectual. Energetic one are less intellectual and more devotional. Seldom, if ever, are these three characteristics harmoniously combined in one person. The Buddha Gautama is cited as the one with intellectual group or wisdom. He chose the wisdom way. According to the book, the intellectual one attains Buddhahood within a short period. Devotional one take longer, and energetic one take longer still. Intellectual bodhisattva concentrate more on the development of wisdom and the practice of meditation than on the observant or external form of homage. They are always guided by reason and accept nothing on blind belief. They make no self-surrender and are not slave either to a book or to an individual. They prefer lonely meditation with their silent but powerful thoughts of peace radiating from their solitary retreat. They render moral help to suffering humanity. The element of piety, sadda, or truthful confidence is predominant in the devotional bodhisattva. With sadda as their companion, they achieve their goal. The bodhisattva take a keen interest in all forms of homage. The image of the Buddha is a great inspiration to them. It should be understood that Buddhists do not worship an image. They pay homage to what it represents and reflect on the nine great virtues of the Buddha. The more they think of the Buddha, the more they love him. This is the reason why Buddhism does not denounce this external form of homage, Amisa Puja. Though undoubtedly practice Patipati Puja is more commendable and indisputably superior, but dry intellectual has to be flavored with sadda to obtain satisfactory result. As excessive sadda might also sometimes be detrimental, it has to be restrained by wisdom. So these are all the beliefs that this cultivator believe in. But in actual fact, it's not this way. It's not to balance here and there. All these are spiritual faculty needed for cultivation. In fact, faith is very important. If your faith is very, very strong, and if you really investigate into the Dhamma after you have the faith, the Dhamma that stand up to investigation will make your faith unshakable. That's why you have to reach the stage of unshakable balas power. Then you realize it will drive you to cultivate and you will progress. All the other spiritual faculty will fall in. So it's not like what they say, I have to balance faith, too much faith cannot. No such thing. Too much wisdom cannot lack faith. The thing start from faith. Without faith, your spiritual faculty, your sadda, cannot drive you. But once you have faith, it will drive you. Faith through knowing who the Buddha is, how special a being he is, and how wonderful this teaching is. Then investigate, put it to test. When you stand up to investigation, your faith becomes unshakable. The virya will come. Yeah. That's how the spiritual faculty is to develop one after another. Then it will strengthen all the way. So when virya comes about, your sati will be there. When your sati is there, it will stabilize, become samadhi. Then sati samadhi will give rise to wisdom. So all these five spiritual faculty are very powerful. But they are more interested in the three. Sadda, virya, and panya. Sati samadhi is where the cultivation spiritual faculty are. So forget about what they try to tell you, balancing here and there. Even last time I also heard there are people who teach the five mental hindrances. He said you must balance them. You heard of it or not? Huh? You didn't hear. During the early days, they always talk about this. You must balance the five spiritual faculty and also... the five spiritual faculty. They talk about balancing. is actually not balancing. You have to build it up, one upon another, then until all the five become very strong. Okay, we will read on. The energetic one always seek opportunity to be of service to others. Nothing gives them greater delight than actual service. For them, work is happiness, and happiness is work. They are not happy unless they are active. As King Sangabohi of the Sri Lanka said, they bear this body of flesh and blood for the good and happiness of the world. They live not only for themselves, but for others as well. So this is the Bodhisattva ideal. The spirit of selfless service is one of the chief characteristics of all Bodhisattva, because they realize no mark, no mark of a self, no mark of others, no mark of Dhamma. With relentless energy, they work not as slave but as master. They crave for neither fame nor name. They are interested only in service. It is immaterial to them whether others recognize their selfless service or not. They are entirely indifferent to praise and blame, or blame. They forgot themselves in their disinterested service to others. They would sacrifice even life itself. Could such action save another fellow living beings or fellow beings? A bodhisattva who forgets himself in the service of others should practice karuna and metta, compassion and loving kindness, to an exceptionally high degree. A bodhisattva desires the good and welfare of the world. He loves all beings as a mother loves his only child. He identifies himself with all. To him, nothing gives more delight than to think that all are his brothers and sisters. He is like a mother, a father, a friend, a teacher to all beings. The compassion of a bodhisattva consists in realizing the equality of oneself with others, paramattha samatha, and also the substitution of others for oneself, para atma paravattama tana. When he does so, he loses the I notion and finds no difference between himself and others. He returns good for evil and help even unasked the very person who have wronged him, for he knows that the strength of a religious teacher is his patience. Being rebelled, he rebels not. Being beaten, he beats not. Being annoyed, he annoys not. His forgiveness is unfailing, even as the mother suffer in silence. All that may be done to her. Oh, we finished. Chapter 40. So, chapter 41 is on perfection. Do you have any question? This one is all for info. Not really so much teaching involved. That's why we can actually run through it quite fast. After chapter 40, what do we have? Oh, still quite a bit, They got the four sublime states some more. Then chapter 41 is on. Oh, perfection, Four sublime states. Oh, the last chapter is Satipatthana. That one is a long one. Oh, they have all this Metta Sutta and all this thing, Okay, we still got 10 minutes. Do you have any question? Anybody? Yes. Tell me, yes. Yes.
Radio.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Can, no problem.
I want to ask about, I think, the one of the Thursday.
Class.
And then I don't understand something about the, says that, this form and mind is not belongs to you.
Yes.
This one is not self, but not nothingness.
Yeah.
It is not no self.
Yeah.
That is not permanent unchanging entity, but there is such thing as a human being.
Yeah.
Human being exists and it is subject to karmic. True nature is not subject to karma. Like But I don't understand is why you say that this one is non-self but not nothingness.
Okay, good. Okay, I will explain it in more detail so that you all can understand. But for those who cultivate, they will know. So you see, we have a form and mind. Yeah? 5 degrees of form and mind. So this one, you call it the human being. Okay? For my form and mind, you call Brother Teo. Okay? So this is the human being. For your case, it's Tammy. Okay? Sister Tammy. So you look at it. There is such thing as a human being. True or not? There is such thing as Brother Teo sharing the Mahavir. True or not? But this is conventional reality. This is within the conditioned world. That's why I say it's not nothingness. It's not that the whole phenomenal world is a phenomenal world of consciousness, therefore not real, empty. Yeah. But empty, not real, doesn't mean nothing. Understand? Yeah, there is such a thing as life, such a thing as phenomenal world of consciousness. There are things happening, understand? But they are impermanent. They are not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can hold on to, grasp on to, cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I. That's why that is a self-delusion. Sakayaditi. That is a major ignorance. So self-delusion is one of the major ignorance. So when you have self-delusion, you believe this is you, all the troubles start. The personality, the egoic mind, all come out. So that's why I say, the Buddha say, you meditate, you will come to understand this one is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Not real, not what you think. Although it can speak, it can animate into a human being, it can have emotion, feeling, views, opinion, and all those things. But is this me? No, it's not me. But this one is a vehicle and a tool for me to come, for my nature to come. That's why karma-wise, my nature has a karmic nature. And for it to come to this existential world, I already explained, you need a form and mind. You need a vehicle. It can be a human being or any living being within the 31 plane of existence. So this life, my vehicle is this. A human being. That's why this one come. But when this one come, when my nature connect, when I meditate and realize after 1989, I know this is not me. This is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for me to come to this world. To live life, to experience life, to cultivate, to do its duty. But for most of other people who are not in the Dhamma or Puttajana who has ignorance, this form of mind come to pay back karma, understand? To suffer, to be afflicted, pay back time. But when you understand the Dhamma, you can have a completely different understanding. Then you know how to make use of this to live life. You don't have to worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. Then you know how to do your duty. That's why your karmic nature is beautiful. Perfect. That where is the meaning of not real, but not nothingness? Understand? Not me. But there is such thing as life. There is such thing as Brother Teo. Understand or not? There is such thing as Pativeda, the third phase of Dhamma. Even though moment to moment it passes by, come and go, no reality ultimately. But within that moment, even though it's just very transient, understand? Split second is there and gone. That's why it's not real. Do you understand? As real it can be, it's only the present moment. We already gone through that. True or not? Past is already gone. No more reality. Future yet to come. The only reality is in the here and the now. And how stable is the here and the now? Before you can talk about it, it's gone. Understand? Split second is gone. Split second is gone. So how real can life be? But there is such thing as life. Because moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Who are you? What are you? This form and mind, which is a vehicle and tool for you to come, to live, to use, can experience this moment beautifully. With the Dhamma, without ignorance, it is beautiful. That's why Pativeda, the third phase of Dhamma, you can live the life of an enlightened being. Yeah, moment to moment it passes by, impermanent, ultimately empty. True, but these are the moments which is as real as it can be when you have the understanding. That's why the whole of the consciousness is so pristine, so beautiful. That's why you can live life fully and you can experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life within the moment since 1970 now until now. Every moment has been so beautiful. That's why even though not me, unreal, but with that wisdom connected, this nature know how to use it and experience all those things. And there is such thing as life. You can live it. It's really beautiful, especially during this golden age, golden era, this golden civilization. You have the means. You must develop the understanding to live life. Because all these things that you own and you have through your merits and your blessing, you cannot bring along, understand? You can use it for the good of the many and yourself. Use it. Make use of it. Cultivate. Develop the understanding. Develop the joy. Then whatever you use it for the good of the many, come back to your karmic nature. Do you understand? Your perfection. They are never lost. That's why be generous, be kind, be good to people, have Dhamma. Then everything will go your way. Then this form of mind will know what to do. It has its duty towards the nature's law. Duty towards mankind, humanity, environment, all beings. Right duty is right Dhamma. All this you will understand. So now you understand. Huh? Tell me. So the meaning is, even though it's anatta, non-self, empty, but there is such thing as life. There is such thing as a human being, even though not me. Because this is the vehicle and the tool for me to come. If I understand, I use it. Use it to perfect itself. Use it to fulfill its vow, to develop the cultivation, and use it to develop further understanding and all those things. And this is the real deep meaning of life. When you understand Dhamma, you understand life, you know how to live life. Even though it's the conditioned world. The conditioned world has its conditioned Dhamma. That's why it has the Four Noble Truths. It has the Noble Truth of Suffering. It has birth, old age, sickness and death. Well, this is within the conditioned world. But beyond the conditioned world, the unconditioned, when you realize the enlightenment, he know you, he know me. No one enlightened. No attainment, nothing. no old age, sickness and death, because it's the complete opposite. But you need the wisdom of the unconditioned Dhamma to live in the conditioned world, so that you are not deceived, deluded and afflicted. When it comes to understanding, the wisdom of the unconditioned must be there. When it comes to living life, the wisdom of the conditioned world must be there. That's why you must have the wisdom of foresight to enable you to understand life, to be complete. That's why without the spiritual understanding, your life is incomplete. You will suffer. You don't know how to live. You have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow. You can't. There is no way. Okay? So this one, you have to go back and reflect contemplatively. I have repeated a lot of this inside there. That's why you have to listen to it. Constant listening to the Dhamma until it becomes very, very clear. Then reflect, contemplate. Then ask yourself that question. Who am I? What am I? What is this Tammy all about? How did Tammy come about? Okay.
It's like this. It's like, I don't know whether is it.
Yeah.
How to say it? Like when we are, the six senses, seeing, hearing,
yeah,
and everything. Then a lot of time we feel that it's really real, because it's like when we watch the TV, then if we are too engrossed into it, then we cry and do a lot of things. Then same thing as the six senses, then we also.
Correct. So what is your question?
So my question is, is that there's a thing that always knows that it always knows, but it cannot involve also and is it called consciousness? Is it that?
I think I understand what you are trying to put forward and develop the understanding. Because you didn't really investigate, that's why you have this problem. Where you have the Dhamma knowledge there, and you know this one at the back there is something. It's actually most of the time it's still the thought, but you didn't investigate into it. When you investigate into it, then it becomes very different. Like the sixth sense door, last time I always contemplate, reflect, I say, who am I? What am I? What is this form of mind all about? Yeah, I have the senses. What are they? What is seeing consciousness? Like you say, you can see the TV, like very real, can be emotional. But are these real? That's how I went into it. Then I realized one very important thing. This is how I function as a human being. Without the senses, this human being cannot function. Understand? The world of sight and sound come from your senses. Without the eye, the seeing consciousness, you cannot see things, the sight. Without the hearing consciousness, the sound, the music, cannot. You can't hear. Then without your taste bud, all the good food, you cannot experience. Then without the smell, all the nice fragrance or whatever, you cannot smell them. Then without the tactile sensation, the nice aircon and all those weather, the whatever, you cannot experience them, the beautiful nature and all those things. Then without the brain, without the consciousness, you cannot have mental perception, mental feeling, mental states. You cannot meditate and do it. Then I realize these senses is what I need to live life. This is what I am. Understand? So without the senses, I cannot know the world. I cannot interact with the world. I need the senses to interact with the world, to know the world, to experience the world, to live life and to do all those things. Then I realize the senses is very important. But the senses is not me. It's like the physics experiment. Understand how? Dependent originating, condition arising. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. Then I become conscious of what I see, conscious of what I listen. Then the brain, the conditioning, the views, you must see all this in the meditation. How you react, how you stir your mind. Then you understand all this is the mundane mind with the delusion, the lack of understanding. But there is a nature within that is beyond the thought, beyond the mundane mind. The true nature, the true mind, the silent. Find out what that is. Realize that true mind. The moment you realize that, you go to Hui Ning's sudden enlightenment. You will awaken. You will understand. No wonder. All this is not real. Only that nature within. And that nature is the eternal nature. That nature never dies. But that nature cannot come out and live life. Do you understand? It's not a human being. It's not an entity. It's just that nature. It's not even a boy or a girl or a man. Understand? No word. Just that nature. And this one cannot come out. So how to come out? Karmic nature. From there, conditional form of mind. That's why this form of mind is connected to that nature. So you have to realize that true mind. Understand that. Then only you can understand outward all this manifestation. That's why all this thing that happened outside is actually from inside. Mind is external manifestation. External manifestation of mind actually is from inside, it comes out. So all this you need to develop understanding through the contemplation, reflection, the meditation, silent everything, understand. Then from there, start from zero base. Assume you don't know anything. Don't let the knowledge cloud you, thinking that you know, oh, I can feel, I can get lost in it. Then there's another thought. You know. Forget about all these things. Because all this is knowledge, theory. You doesn't know the true thing. That's why you cannot understand all this. But when you go in and meditate and reflect, contemplate and write down and question and inquire everything, who is Tammy? Who is feeling? Who is perceiving? Who is doing all these things? Then who am I? What am I? How can I know the world? So all this, through my own reflection, last time during the early year of my cultivation, I reflected. Then I realized, the senses are very important. This is how I know the world. This is how my form and mind interact with the world. Without the senses, you are practically dead. Understand? Without seeing consciousness, without hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness, who are you? You are like the vegetable there. Understand? No thought process, nothing. Then who are you? What are you? It's from all this that it arises. Then you realize you need all these which are nature's phenomena. You know what is nature's phenomena? Like the physics explained, light bulb. The switch on, the light bulb light up. All these senses, they operate the same way. It's not a being inside there. There is nobody inside there to cause you to see, to cause you to think. The thought is respond to memory. You can see it coming out. Without the brain, like the baby, when it's just born, without memory, no thought, understand? Then you will start to understand what is the pure consciousness, pure awareness before the seeing, before the perception, before the thought come out. Without memory, there is no thought. But when you grow up with the sophisticated conditioning, memory and accumulation, yet you can see like a baby, that is the real meditative mind. You can still see things as they are, without the perception, without the words. Can see reality, truth. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu to tell me, yeah, the good question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. But if you don't ask, there is no condition to share and teach. Although she herself doesn't know what she wants to ask. But my nature can sense. That's what confusing her, that's why she cannot understand. So now you understand why the second turning is very important. Reflect, contempt. That's why keep on listening to the video. Now, not audio, no video. Very clear, I tell you. That's why last time Song has been doing that. Listen and listen. He non-stop. At the Wu Ping Ching Sir, their Sunday class, you remember? Sometimes he accidentally pressed the phone. my video voice come out. He has been carrying around and listening to it at office, at home, in the car, everywhere. Like last time, Alicia also said, traveling on the train, also listening nonstop. That's how the second step, listening to the two Dhamma, reflect on them, played. Then the second turning wisdom stabilized. When that one stabilized, the initial wisdom can even transform you to become at least a Sotapan, or if not, Sakadagami. Then later on, you will go through the realization and realize Arahantship and beyond. Then your Bodhisattva vow will take you along. So all these are possible, not difficult. That's why I listen, especially the video. I tell you, the video is going to transform a lot of things. A lot of this teaching people never hear before. Later on, when the condition come, you will see how all this become very, very potent. A lot of people will learn and progress very fast. Okay, we better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Taken extra 7 minutes of your time. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits, the transfer of merit, then we end. Also, I think we would like to share merit with Brother Xia's son, Xia Wingqiang, for his full recovery. Let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours plus of meditation, Dhamma sharing, and all the other wholesomeness that we have developed. And we would like to rejoice in such wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And may all this wholesomeness pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for Brother Xia's son, Xia Wingqiang, to recover to good health soon. And may this also pave the way for the whole family to really have their good and noble wish come true, so that they can get together as a family unit and live the good life after the son recover. Then we will now share merits with all the devas, and after that we will make our blessing to the nation. Then we will make your aspiration. Akka sata ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyatang anumoditwa cirang rakan tulo kasasana itta wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya hidang menya tidang hotu sukita hontunya teyo hidang menya tidang hotu sukita hontunya teyo hidang menya tidang hotu sukita hontunya teyo deo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca Raja bhavatu dhammiko imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Triple Gem, then we end.
The first question is about the nothingness.